from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, we'll talk with Jennifer Lall, president of the Center for Bioethics and Culture Network, about the new documentary, Breeders, a subclass of women. Also, Dan Burke talks with EWTN President Doug Keck about the exciting new changes here at EWTN Radio. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Dan Burke, Executive Director of the Register. Thanks for joining us. Our first guest today, Jennifer Lall, is founder and president of the Center for Bioethics and Culture Network. She couples her 25 years of experience as a pediatric critical care nurse, a hospital administrator, and a senior-level nursing manager with a deep passion to speak to those who have no voice. That would include topics like egg donation, assisted suicide, surrogacy, and human cloning. Today, Jennifer is here to talk about the new documentary, Breeders, a New Subclass of Women, which explores the issue of surrogacy. Jennifer, welcome to Register Radio.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. First of all, let's begin at the very beginning. What is surrogacy?
Well, surrogacy is sometimes called rent-a-womb, but it's where you employ or contract with another woman to carry your child and give birth, and then when that child is born, you know, to give that child to you. It can be done altruistically, meaning she just does it because she's a nice, good person, or it can be done for financial compensation. One other just nuance, if I could just put that out there, is the surrogate sometimes is also the biological mother, meaning that she provides her egg, her genetic material, and her womb, or as is most often the case in 21st century surrogacy, she is just the womb. So the genetic material, the egg, comes from another woman.
Does it usually involve money?
Oh, it usually does. There's not a lot of women that want to give their body away for 9 months, and anybody who's listening that has experienced pregnancy or been pregnant knows, you know, the demand of a pregnancy on your body. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes the woman will do it for compensation. And, in my view, that is literally the buying and selling of children, because the surrogate is being paid to deliver a baby. And if the surrogate at the end of the 9 months doesn't deliver a baby, the surrogate doesn't get paid.
Yeah. Your film Breeders talks with women and men who have been through the maze of surrogacy. What I picked up on was something that comes up time and time again in life issues, and that is unintended consequences. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And also just wrong thinking. I'm just back from testifying at a Senate hearing in the state of Kansas, where I heard woman after woman who was either a surrogate or had used a surrogate profess to be a pro-life Christian, mm-hmm. a regular church attender, a devout Catholic, and they see this as a natural extension of God providing children to their families and a new modern technology that allows them to be fruitful and multiply. So not only the unintended consequences, which, you know, many of the women in the new film talk about things that went terribly wrong, but also just not being able to think rightly and deeply about what we're doing here.
Yeah. Let's talk about the film itself. Why a documentary and why now?
Yes, well, Breeders is the third and final film in a three-part series. Our work is really focused on what we call third-party reproduction. So we did Exploitation, the documentary film that looks at women who donated or sold their eggs. We did a film called Anonymous Father's Day, where we interviewed a lot of now young adults and adults who were conceived through anonymous sperm donation. Mm. And this film, Breeders, looks at the phenomena of modern-day surrogacy. And as we've seen across the country, as we've legalized same-sex marriage, that what next is happening that's keeping us very busy is all the different states which are now battling to change surrogacy laws so that not only can same-sex couples get married, but now same-sex couples can have children. Hmm. So we see a real need for quick public education. Because most of the people just see somebody who can't have a baby, and now isn't it wonderful that they went to the doctor, the fertility doctor, and now they have a baby, and it's so great. Mm-hmm. So we're just trying to quickly do a mass public education campaign.
We're talking here with Jennifer Lall on Register Radio. She is the founder and president of the Center for Bioethics and Culture Network. Jennifer, I want to play a short clip from the trailer because I think it's very powerful in a very understated way. Here is 1 minute from Breeders.
The babies were born 2 weeks premature.
They were getting ready to walk out of the room, and I said, please, can I please see him?
When I was going to visit the babies, one of the hospital social workers showed up. She said, I understand we have a surrogacy situation here.
In many jurisdictions, there's no law at all that speaks to how to resolve disputes that arise in the context of assisted reproductive technologies.
There are so many other people involved.
It is not just her uterus that she's renting, it's her entire body.
Having to try to find a way to build a family outside the normal channels is very stressful for everyone. It's very difficult for us to stand in judgment.
It's important that we listen to and hear these stories.
Most of the consideration within surrogacy is towards the adults and what they want and what they're looking for.
This child's foundation of existence is a contract, an agreement, and more often than not, money. That's not in the best interest of a child.
I do believe it can be a wonderful, beautiful thing, but...
Yeah, Jennifer, how telling is it when she says it can be beautiful, but...
Yes, and that's Heather, who is in the film. And Heather went through just a horrible, unintended consequences, was told to have an abortion, that the child she was caring for, the intended parents, had Down syndrome.
Uh-huh.
She was just treated awfully by them. The couple told her that she basically worked for them. She'd signed a contract. At the surface, we think this is all good and helping, but we really need to think deeply about what does it mean to get into these third-party arrangements and contracts in order to help children have a baby. You know, the new buzzword is collaborative reproduction. So a lot of the bills that are popping up around the United States are called, reproductive collaborative bills. And, we don't need to work with other people in order to have our children.
You mentioned earlier on that this is your third film, all of them dealing with very complicated issues of life. How long did it take you to put this particular film together? And also, how did you find the people that you interviewed?
Well, it takes us about a year to roll out a documentary film, or a little bit less than. We work pretty fast. And I'm always amazed with how the people find me. So oftentimes, I'm in the process right now of interviewing a brand new surrogate that I just came to know of because of the new film coming out. So The World Wide Web is an amazing way of people finding you. One time I got an email from an egg donor, and the first question I asked her was, how did you find me? And she said, well, I Googled egg donation nightmare stories, and our film Eggsploitation came up.
Wow.
So, what happens when things go wrong in today's time is we all go to the Internet and we start doing our Google search. So a lot of times people find me because we're pretty much a lone voice out there, raising awareness, making documentary films, telling people stories of harm. Because if you go to the fertility websites, everybody's smiling and happy and holding cute babies.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk about the dirty underside of this. I walked into the Senate hearing room in Kansas a few weeks ago, and of course it's a natural scene. There's women with their babies right there in the Senate building.
Yeah.
And they're crying about, you're trying to take away our rights. It's all about rights to have a baby.
The Acton Institute's Elise Hilton had a very nice endorsement of your film, and she said it's a cautionary tale of the physical, emotional, and ethical hurricane that is surrogacy. Is that what you wanted to put across in the film?
Absolutely. I was a pediatric nurse for almost 20 years. And I'm a big advocate of children. I'm a big advocate for moms and dads. I love people to be able to have children. But we want to make sure that it's not just about having children by any means, but really to raise the cautionary tale of not only what can go wrong medically, mm-hmm. and physically and emotionally when you separate women from their babies, when you turn women into breeders, you're just paying people to gestate babies and surrender those babies. But, the legal mess. I mean, there's so many cases where, a couple divorces while the surrogate's pregnant, and they say, well, you need to have an abortion because we're getting a divorce now. And it ends up in the courts. There's a case right now in Kansas where, two lesbians found a sperm donor on Craigslist. And, of course, everything went wrong, and now they're asking the state of Kansas to provide, public assistance for this child. And they're saying, no, the father needs to support his child. And he's saying, no, I was just the sperm donor.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a mess.
I would think that everybody would be concerned about this kind of a practice. Is this just a conservative issue?
Absolutely not. And that's what we've intentionally been able to do, is to get people on the far left who have not only endorsed our films, but have stood side by side with me, mm-hmm. either in hearings, testifying, or doing screenings. So when I was in Kansas, you know, I was there with a national member of the National Organization for Women. She doesn't speak for now.
Yeah.
She's on their board, and she testified with me, in agreement with me. We've had major feminist voices on the left. Patricia Ireland, if anybody listening knows her name, just endorsed the film this weekend, saying that, you know, it's a important contribution to the conversation. We have to be looking at all sides, not just somebody who wants a baby and let's help them get a baby no matter what.
This is Tom Price speaking with Jennifer Lall here on Register Radio. I want to talk for just a moment about your organization, the Center for Bioethics and Culture Network. What prompted you to found yet another nonprofit? There are so many out there. Were things like fetal genetic testing and surrogacy not being addressed elsewhere?
That's exactly what we saw, that there's all these new modern technologies coming down the pike: human cloning, embryonic stem cell research, you know, designer babies, reproductive mm-hmm. technology, and there really wasn't a really well-informed, robust public. So we are a public benefit, nonprofit, educational group trying to educate, obviously, from our point of view, which, you know, affirms the dignity of all human life from conception to natural death, but looking at it through the lens of these more modern-day technologies.
Well, it certainly is important work that you're doing, and I think the way that you're doing it with these documentary films is really resonating with an awful lot of people. Are you getting any feedback on this newest of your movies?
Yes, and when we really know we've hit it on is we've gotten the reproductive industry sort of all up in arms. So when you can take a multi-billion dollar a year industry that's been happily running their business without anybody oversight or regulation,
yeah.
kind of up in arms, you know that you're onto something, because we're exposing. I get emails almost every day, even from industry insiders, saying you're doing good and important work.
Excellent.
Keep going. Keep telling the truth.
Jennifer, how can people find out more about this film, Breeders, and your other things?
Yeah, if they just go to our website, cbc-network.org, they'll be able to find out all about our organization and all of the films that we've produced.
Very good. And that was cbc-network, correct?
.org.
.org. Very good. Jennifer Lall, thanks for joining us today on Register Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me, Tom. Have a great day.
When we return, we'll talk with Doug Keck about some exciting changes here at EWTN. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More in a moment.
Colleen Carroll Campbell talks about the National Catholic Register.
We live in a secular culture today that's in many ways hostile to core teachings of our Catholic faith. That's not something we need to be angry and defensive about, but it is a reality that we need to recognize and grapple with. And that's where the National Catholic Register comes in. It's so important for Catholics to have a newspaper with a national perspective that helps them understand their faith and what's happening around the world, but especially in the church, from an authentically Catholic perspective, one that they can trust. And that's why I believe the National Catholic Register is an important tool in the new evangelization and to today's Catholics. In many ways, it's more important now than it's ever been.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the register, or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. And Dan, we're normally joined by the Register's editor-in-chief, Jeanette DeMello, but she has a good reason for not being here, right?
Well, yeah, the new evangelization is at work, and her family is expanding with a new baby boy, Christian. We're very excited for Jeanette, and she's taking a bit of time off to focus on being a mom.
Absolutely. So congratulations to you, Jeanette, and Juan, and your whole family there. Our next guest is Doug Keck. He's President and Chief Operating Officer of EWTN. Our radio's listeners know him very well for his series EWTN Bookmark and all of the great live event coverage that he has hosted, most recently the March for Life and Walk for Life West Coast. Doug's leadership of EWTN radio, television, and all that he oversees has helped to make EWTN the strong Catholic voice that it is today. Doug is here today to talk about some of the exciting changes here on the radio side. Doug, welcome to Register Radio.
Thank you, Tom. You read that just as I wrote it. Thank you. Perfect. Perfect, in fact.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here, Doug. It was an exciting announcement at the radio conference here last year about this new offering from EWTN Radio. Tell us a little bit about what that entails and maybe a little how it came to be.
Well, I think it's something that's actually been talked about on and off for years, about the idea that as radio kind of transitioned from the early days with EWTN, where a lot of it was our television teaching programs on radio, to starting to move into more of the Catholic Answers kind of live interactive format, the Al Cresta Show, etc. As we moved in that direction, which seems to be what most people were interested in from an affiliate side, we also had those out there who kind of missed some of the more traditional devotional kind of teaching programs. And so we always had in the back of our mind, how can we balance those things off? And so thanks to technology, our recent consolidation here at the television facility at the Irondale Studios of everything, it allowed us to do some additional programming options and finally make them available and be able to say, here, we've got our TalkNet kind of programming that's out there now. It's a teaching format, but it's a talk program. And we also have this other option now we're going to offer to our affiliates that allows them basically to access something we would call a more teaching devotional service. You know, so in my mind, it's kind of we've got talk and teach.
Right.
Obviously, both of them teach, but they teach in different ways.
Different ways. You know, it's amazing to me. I worked for one of the largest evangelical organizations before I converted to Catholicism and then was blessed to come here to EWTN. I've been really impressed with how much we do with I'm not saying that the donor's very generous with us, but we do so much more than I've ever seen with every dollar. Now, is it true that this didn't add any additional infrastructure cost to EWT? I mean, you're actually using what you already had to provide twice as much programming. Is that right?
Well, basically, we're using our library, which we own, you know, and have created over the years from our television programs and those that were featured on radio. And so with a small incremental expense, you know, of which we had upgraded already our playback system when we had moved it down here. It made it a lot easier for us to do this. We already have transmission and satellite capabilities, so adding an additional channel on wasn't a big deal. We're also distributing over the Internet as well as another option for people. Some use it as their primary, some use it as a backup. So yeah, marginal costs, really. And that's always the benefit when you have an organization like we do, where instead of trying to start up a whole new thing, it's an incremental expense to expand out. And that's how we've been able to do the radio expansion.
So for a very little investment, relatively speaking, you've doubled. Is it 48 hours? I think Tom was telling me the saying around the studio here now is that we offer solid Catholic radio 48 hours a day.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. Yeah, and Tom would know probably better than anybody because he's obviously our programming guy. And so he was intrinsically involved in actually making this happen. You know, I mean, we had discussions. We had a vision. We brought it in. We rolled out what we wanted to get to. And again, this is, you know, like everything we do at EWTN, we're putting it out and we're waiting to see, you know, we've gotten good feedback, but we're interested in feedback. And that's one of the things I think we've tried to expand in the last couple of years in working with our radio affiliates, as well as our listeners, to be as responsive as we can be to their concerns and questions about, you know, why we program what we program, what other programs we might be able to make available. And one of the great things about EWTN has always been, especially on the radio side, but TV as well, is it really is an amalgam of apostolates from around the country and literally around the world. It's not that we're just creating all of this. We're, you know, when on our regular radio feed, you've got, you know, Catholic Answers with programming. You've got Dr. Ray, who does programming with Ave Maria. You've got Al Cresta with Ave Maria. You've got Jeanette, who up until recently was a separate operation and now works for us. And so that's been consolidated with St. Joseph Radio, et cetera. So we've really been a platform for not only what Mother wanted for EWTN, but what Mother wanted for other Catholic apostolates.
This is Dan Burke with Register Radio. We're here with EWTN President COO Doug Keck talking about the new Radio 2 offering of EWTN, which is exciting. It's offering a more devotional programming to affiliates around the country. But also, Doug, you mentioned that it's available not just through radio, but how else can folks get a hold of this content?
Well, I guess you can access it on our website. So obviously an individual, like in all of our cases, could decide that, you know, gee, maybe I've got a local radio station and I like their programming, or maybe there isn't programming available and I was always hoping they would go back to this. So if you go to our website, EWTN.com radio, you can basically find that information so you yourself can listen to either station and you yourself can go back and forth and actually program your own channel, basically.
Yeah, it's also on the app, the new EWTN app, so people can access it there as well.
So that would be basically for mobile devices,
yes,
and things like that, for your smartphone or mm-hmm. if you have a tablet or an iPad.
Is it available on iHeartRadio yet, Tom?
Not yet.
Okay. Is that on the horizon, you think?
Well, we hope so.
Great. So. Now, as far as the content, Doug, is this all older content or is it a blend? How does that work?
Well, the majority of the teaching programs, I would say, you know, from our stuff, our material, if you go back, it's, you know, the Scott Hahns and the Father Connors and the Father Spitzers, those kinds of programs, the Father Rutlers, you know, it's a mix, but going back into the past, bringing up to now, so some of it would be reasonably new, but a lot of it would be older. Now, obviously, we still have some other things, you know, Father John Ricardo's material, Father Larry Richards, some of that is new, some of that is old. Obviously, we still carry, you know, the Mass and things like that, so obviously that would be daily as
yeah.
well. So,
well, and in the end, with respect to the age of content, what we do here is eternal
value.
That's
right.
It's really old and new, and it depends on where you're at in your
growth.
We've got
the best shelf life of anybody
our
programs. We have evergreen on evergreen.
Evergreen
here.
On evergreen, exactly. Exactly. Doug, you've been with EWTN a long time, and I'm just curious from a personal standpoint, do you have a favorite that you just stop and listen to, or you'll spend a little time listening to? Not that we want to, you know, dissuade anyone from listening to anything
else. You mean besides
else.
Register Radio?
Besides Register Radio,
and anything Tom Price is on. I have to say, I mean, I was always a fan for years of, and I still listen to, you know, Catholic Answers. I always liked the format. I thought that was a nice program. So I always found that quite good. I've also found that one of the best people on radio from our TV side is Father Spitzer, because he gives such an incredible explanation of complex things. In some ways, just listening to him allows you to focus more. So when I've heard him in the car on the radio when we had him on in the past, mm-hmm. I really found that I got almost more out of it than I got out of watching him on television. So
yeah, his material is very dense. I mean, it's very rich and insightful in so many different ways. He's a brilliant man, a good priest. It's such a blessing to have him with us. This is Dan Burke with Register Radio. We're here with Doug Keck, EWTN's president and COO, talking about new Radio 2 offering from EWTN. Doug, I'm sure as folks listen to all this great content and have access to so much more content, they may want to purchase the materials for themselves, DVDs, CDs. Doug or Tom, how much of that is available for purchase?
Quite a bit. A lot of our library material is available from EWTN Religious Catalog.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, that would be the best thing to check out. And if we found out also that there was interest in some of the material that might not be available, we certainly could make it available.
Sure.
And we've also made a lot of our material, quite honestly, available for free on our website for download. And, you know, when we always ask people when they're thinking about that as well, that it does cost money and things to make them available that way. And if people can support us through donations in their mind when they are accessing some of our free programming, that's the only way we're going to be able to keep it free.
You know, that's another amazing thing about EWTN is just how much we do with, again, a generous audience, generous donors. But I've never seen an entity like this, and I've also done quite a bit of consulting with nonprofits from various different corners of Christendom, if you will. And we reach more people for the dollar than any institute, any media organization in the world. I got to believe that. What is our reach these days, Doug, as far as how many folks are potentially touched by our radio?
Well, on the radio, I mean, certainly on the TV side, it's 230 million plus. Obviously, shortwave, you're not sure who you're reaching. Tom might be better on having a handle on where what we claim our reach is on the
radio last I
side.
Heard was somewhere under a billion, yeah. Maybe 600, 700,000. Exactly.
Right, and of course, besides the AM, FM, and being on the web, and iHeart, and those things, we're also on Sirius XM, so there's also opportunities there. And internationally, we're available via satellite and other modes, like in Europe, et cetera. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for people to access. I think one of the major things we want to do has always been to answer that question, why didn't anybody ever tell me about this? You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
How come it took so long for me to find it? So our goal is, A, make sure we're available every way we can for all people who have all different reasons for acquiring us in different ways. You know, some people don't want to have a television in their house, or they don't want to have cable in their house, or whatever. So here's opportunities. You know, I don't want the internet in my house. Well, but I got a smartphone. Oh, here's another way of doing it. You know, or I like the internet, that's okay. Or I just like to watch, you know, something like a Roku, an OTT service or something like that, a Netflix kind of thing. All of those opportunities to have EWTN programming available. So in whatever modality people are comfortable with, we're there.
What's exciting about that is we were talking on EWTN News Nightly last night about the Pope Francis effect and how he's reaching out to so many people who may have been at the margins or who may have left the church and or been unhappy with the church, or even those outside who are Protestants may be happy in where they are, but they are looking at him and finding interest. Mm-hmm. And it's an exciting time to be a part of EWTN, where we're reaching so many people who, if they have interest, have a way to really understand the truth about the church from the heart of the church. I mean, the fact that we're committed to the magisterium, everything that we produce is trustworthy, is just, it's an exciting thing to be a part of now.
Without a doubt, and I know that people will know that we have kept Mother at the center of what we do. That is what we're looking to do. Where we can reach out, like the Holy Father is, to some people who maybe were a little more on the margins. I think speaking the truth in love is what it's always been about. I think when you separate those two either way, you run into problems.
Doug, I'm so grateful you were able to travel all the way from your office a few hundred yards away to be with us here on Register Radio.
It's always a pleasure to see you, Dan. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Doug, and thank you for joining us on Register Radio. For our producer, Elena Rodriguez, Dan Burke, and all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.